This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Halloween economy. I'm David Brancaccio. The rip-roaring U.S. economy from the first half of the year did not stall summer into fall, but the growth slowed sharply down. There's news today. Gross domestic product grew just 2% annualized July through September. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. I know her as one not to sugarcoat things, but she was actually expecting worse. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Well, what happened summer to fall was not nearly the strength of the first half of the year, but I shouldn't get sidetracked by that?
No, what we saw was, 2% growth would have been pre-pandemic, a solid quarter. It's a mere shadow of the 6.7% torrid pace we saw in the second quarter as the economy was reopening, but somewhat of an upside surprise given we had the Delta wave and we had so many shortages out there. Spending on big ticket items like vehicles, appliances, furniture, which are all in incredibly short supply, plummeted, but we actually had some upside surprise in spending on services. And in fact, one of the things that really was surprising was we saw inventories rebuild a bit. That is something we've not seen in a while. So we know there's still a lot of shortages out there, but we are seeing some credit card usage as we get through the Delta wave pick up again at the end of October. Halloween is the second largest holiday next to Christmas.
Really? All that candy corn adds up?
Actually, it's not just candy corn. It's all those decorations and the costumes that people buy. And if my neighborhood is any example, boy, is there a lot of pent-up demand for people to go out and scare each other and trick-or-treat this Halloween, which is going to be over a weekend as well, which retailers just love that. Bigger retailers, the large retail behemoths that are tech-savvy, have much more control over their supply lines. My concern is, although we will see a nice bounce back in overall GDP in the fourth quarter as we go into the holiday season, many of the smaller mid-sized firms could get squeezed out.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, chief economist there out of the Chicago office. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now the additional pandemic costs to businesses, workers who are opting not to get vaccinated, separate from those with exemptions. JP Morgan says it'll start deducting pay from unvaccinated workers to cover the cost of COVID testing. Delta Airlines has raised insurance premiums for unvaccinated workers, and United says paid leave for unvaccinated pilots is costing the company almost $3 million a month, according to Bloomberg News. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looked into these costs.
When businesses think about the cost of unvaccinated workers, they look at it in rings. The first innermost ring is the most obvious, the unvaccinated workers themselves, how much the employee will be out if they get sick, and how that will affect the cost of insurance premiums. But to move to the next ring,
there are a lot of downstream decisions that need to be made.
Margie Rosenberg is a professor of risk and insurance at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She says this is where calculating costs starts to involve some prediction, planning, and math.
The best thing that people can do is to estimate exposure. And then if they estimate exposure, then they can then more verbally talk about the impact on it.
Exposure is that second ring. For instance, what if an employee who's unvaccinated gets other employees sick and lots of workers are out at once? And how does this affect how much work gets done? John Dooney is with the Society for Human Resource Management.
If an employee isn't there to perform work, they're not producing for the company, and it hurts overall productivity.
He says it's an especially important question at a time when companies are having difficulty hiring and don't have a lot of extra hands. And the third and final ring,
I think the sales impact can be huge for certain type of business.
Gene Lai is a professor of risk management and insurance at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. He says it's important for consumer-facing businesses like airlines to figure out how mandating or not mandating employee vaccines will affect how customers feel. Right now, that's one of the trickiest parts of the puzzle.
Usually when we do prediction, right, we actually base on past experience. In this case, we don't have much past experience to do it.
But as more companies grapple with those decisions, data will grow, and companies within sectors will be able to better compare performance. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
I'm David Brancaccio. We're watching to see if President Biden is about to announce a breakthrough in negotiations to pass a package of social programs. The Washington Post today is citing unnamed sources saying there is a plan that Democrats will get behind and that official word will come today. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with details.
And David, the Post is reporting that the White House will put out a revised framework of what it expects can pass Congress. The price tag is expected to be somewhere under $2 trillion. We don't know yet what's going to be in that framework, but we know what is likely out, and that's the paid family leave proposal. When negotiations ended last night, that proposal looked unlikely to make it into the final package. It already had gotten whittled down to 4 weeks from its original 12 weeks, which would have cost more than $200 billion over 10 years. But Senator Joe Manchin has remained skeptical about the cost of the family leave plan, and he's one of the two Senate holdout votes that Democrats need, so paid family leave appears out.
All right, so the scope of this and the price tag is shrinking, but what about raising money to help pay for some of this? Is that plan we were talking about to tax top billionaires still on the table?
So that idea had gotten traction yesterday. So the initial plan was raise taxes on the wealthy, right, earning above $400,000 a year and on corporations. Then Democrats came up with the billionaire's tax on the asset gains of what would amount to be a few hundred Americans. Well, Joe Manchin apparently objected to that, too, so that idea may now be out, too. There are some other tax ideas floating around. We'll have to see if they found agreement there.
Okay, well, for this school year, the average increase in tuition at public and private colleges did not keep up with inflation. That's according to a new report from the College Board. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more on what kept prices down a bit.
Usually during a recession, college enrollment goes up, says Columbia Education and Economics professor Judy Scott Clayton. But that's not happening for schools during the pandemic.
They're struggling to attract and retain enrollments right now, and so there's pressure to keep those tuition increases low.
And usually, during a recession, government spending on schools drops. But according to Vanderbilt education professor Will Doyle, that didn't happen either.
One of the big reasons for public institutions that the tuition didn't go up as much is because the states were able to maintain their support.
For years, though, he says college tuition was growing much faster than inflation. Jennifer Ma, co-author of that College Board report, points out that students have been borrowing less.
Overall, the annual borrowing declined for the 10th consecutive year.
The report says that as of this March, more than half of borrowers with outstanding education debt owed less than $20,000. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.